Now entering the truth zone, deep into the vortex of the information revolution with your host, Michael B.
This is your host, Michael B. of the Truth Zone, deep within the vortex of the information revolution, coming to you live from North Dallas, Texas. And we're going to wrap up this disturbing topic for today. It's wrapping it up, but it certainly is not the end of it. It's just for this week. Troubling audio last week, and we heard names like Aleister Crowley, Alice Bailey, Albert Pike. These are just a few of them. Manly P. Hall. That audio left out, I believe, they talked about Planned Parenthood, but didn't talk about, I don't think, Margaret Sanger was mentioned, or the fact that Prescott Bush was a major benefactor in the early days of Planned Parenthood, which, as we know, is not Planning Parenthood at all. It's planning the termination of it. See, this is what they do, ladies and gentlemen. This is what the followers of the father of the lie do. This is what they do. Everything is in code. Everything is the opposite. Gay. Homosexuals are not happy and lighthearted. They put on a facade. Get one of them angry. Just a little bit. And see what happens. Look at their suicide rates. Look at their domestic abuse rates. Depression. Just look at all of that. Liberal. These people are anything but liberators. They are controllers through violence, through lies, through coercion, through harassment, through the Soviet-style politico think, which is, we call that political correctness. And these things are not politically correct at all. They are suicidal by insanity, really. And we're going to have two clips today. And Katy Perry was mentioned in that big clip yesterday. She's going to be mentioned again. Whether they're doing this, giving their soul to Satan, seriously, or whether they're doing this for show, to sell records, they're influencing people that feel that they're doing it for real. Now, I don't know if you can voluntarily hand your soul over to Satan. I'm not really sure about that. I think that Satan can pick your bones. I was thinking about this last night. How those of us that deeply, deeply are on the side of the cross, you know, we can be like Job. Satan was allowed to pick at his flesh, but he couldn't penetrate his spirit. He couldn't penetrate his heart. He couldn't penetrate his soul. So I don't think you can sell it over. I think, and that's up to Jehovah God through Jesus Christ, but I think you can sell out your eternal birthright to moving on to the next level, whatever that next level is, whether it's serving in God's court, whether it's being an angelic messenger to people on earth, whatever capacity, I have zero idea. But I'm not sure. You see, because Satan is the ruler of this world. 1 John 5:19. The world lies in the power of the wicked one. And certainly, he has control of the world governments, as he was able to tempt Jesus with that when he brought Jesus to the high mountaintop. And materialism, all of that, right? The fleshly desires. Satan owns that department. And he can certainly ruin us that way. But ultimately, it is Jehovah God and Jesus Christ that own our souls. And certainly, through our faith and through our integrity, and I believe that you have to have that, they certainly can decide to put you in that book of life or to put you in eternal sleep. But I don't think that I don't think that Satan can actually own your soul. He can only destroy your flesh. And we know that's temporary. And we know that evil is temporary. I'm going to get into an article later on about this new age business that has been penetrating. Certainly, I'm going to focus on our country, the United States of America, and the 60s. I've talked about the 1960s was the absolute pivotal moment when the decay, the spiritual decay, and the secular decay really started to become visible. It became visible in our streets. It became visible in our schools. It became visible in the church. It really started to manifest where eyebrows started to be raised. And this hippie, free love business that was embraced by the children of the 60s, which they've made it all the way to the White House, as we know, with the Clintons especially. This is serious business, ladies and gentlemen. And part of this evil satanic disease, why they go after children, because children are innocent. And in the Bible, there's, you know, symbolically for you to be able to embrace all of God's word, you have to become like a child and be basically almost a spiritual innocence. And this is why they especially go after children. So we have two clips today on that subject. I'm going to get into something that the story continues to build. The article is from the 5th, but this stuff is like really, really disturbing. And I just saw a clip on YouTube. I didn't watch it. I didn't have a chance. It was right before the show. I'm going to see if I can break that down for Monday. I'll have to see what it's about. It's about what I'm talking about, but I need to know the meat of it. So I'm going to go into this clip right now, and it's titled, Just Who Are They Praying To Exactly? Now, this comes from Soulja, S-O-U-L-J-A, of God, but I could swear this is Darren Breen speaking in the beginning from Infowars.com. That's just me. I think it's possible. So let's just go right into this clip. More of the Hollywood decadence. And they go into a couple of other subjects. I might not do the whole clip because they kind of stray from this theme. But I'll see how far I want it to go. Here we go with clip 1.
But But I think that the greatest thing we can do is just unite and love on each other and let no barriers, no borders. Like, we all need to just coexist.
Oh my God.
The bombing in Manchester saw the usual predictable outpouring of thoughts and prayers from celebrities, notably Ariana Grande herself, well known for her I Hate America faux pas a couple of years ago. Regardless, our culture dictates that her thoughts and prayers and those of the elite celebrity class are paramount to us.
I'm just going to stop right there real quick. I was inspired. I had to run and get my Bible. Katy Perry talks about, you know, we have to love up on each other and we have to coexist. And why can't we just hug and kiss? Paul, the Apostle Paul, makes it quite clear. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, makes it very clear. Do not become unevenly yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship do righteousness and lawlessness have? Or what sharing does light have with darkness? Further, what harmony is there between Christ and Belial? And that's basically one of those pagan gods like Moloch and Malcolm that we spoke about yesterday. Or what portion does a faithful person have with an unbeliever? And what agreement does God's temple have with idols? For we are a temple of a living God, just as God said, I shall reside among them and walk among them, and I shall be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, get out from among them. And that is, the idolaters, the extortioners, the followers of counterfeit religion, all of the Antichrist people, really. Separate yourselves, says Jehovah, and quit teaching the unclean thing, and I, God, I will take you in. So, no, Katy Perry, no, we're not going to coexist with scum like you, and we're not going to hug and kiss and love up on you in your sick, polluted body, Katy Perry, and the rest of you scum. True Christians must separate themselves from the scum. Revelation talks about separating the wheat from the chaff, and that's Jesus' work. But we must separate ourselves from scum, and I keep saying that word because I'm trying to be nice here, from that. So no, we're not gonna coexist. Now, we have to live in the world. We have to function in the world, as Paul says. You really can't avoid that unless you put yourself, you know, somewhere in isolation. But in your inner circle, in your inner congregation, the people that you associate with, no, you are not to love up on and coexist with antichrists. You're not. So no, and we're not going to assimilate our children into the disgusting things of this world. And we, as parents, I'm out of the game now of that. Must do our due diligence to teach our children the good things of the world, absolutely. But we cannot ignore the evil things because they will sneak up on you. And look, let's be honest. They've really snuck up on all of us. I often wonder what would happen if 9/11 never happened. Would we still be asleep? Or would we have awakened later on? I don't know. But certainly, it is our duty to be on the watch. So let's continue with this clip.
Us little people. But it was the thoughts and prayers of Katy Perry that grabbed my attention.
Oh, but I think that the greatest thing we can do is just unite and love on each other and let no barriers, no borders. Like, we all need to just coexist.
Oh my God. As you say in your grandbabies, which one of them could you look in their eyes today? That they're expendable for another foreign person to have a nicer life. Which one would you like to say, you, my child, are expendable for someone else to come over here and not follow the law?
Perry tweeted out that she was praying for everyone in Manchester. The question is, who is Perry praying to?
And if you didn't know, Katy Perry used to be a Christian gospel singer until she says that she sold her soul to the devil to become a pop star in mainstream music.
You're doing really well now, but didn't you release a CD like almost 10 years ago?
I released a gospel record when I was 15 because I grew up in a household where all I ever did was listen to gospel music, and my parents are both traveling ministers, and so I kind of sang about, you know, what was going on in my life at 15, and that's how I got introduced to the music industry. I swear I wanted to be like the Amy Grant of music.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out, and so I sold my soul to the devil.
Perry has displayed a full-blown penchant for Illuminati symbolism for years now. And most recently, she appeared on Saturday Night Live mimicking the sick elitist rituals brought to the fore by John Podesta's hacked emails. It reads, "Dear Tony, I am so looking forward to the spirit cooking dinner at my place. Do you think you will be able to let me know if your brother is joining? That dinner Abramovich spoke of was nothing less than a Thelemic occult ritual. In spirit cooking, Marina uses pig's blood, which most resembles human blood, as a medium to connect the spirit world with the material world." Perhaps Perry was praying to the deity future presidential candidate The Rock mentioned.
See, as I said, the material world. Satan is ruler of the material world and can pick at the flesh, but he cannot take the soul.
During one of his skits,
"Hail Satan."
This statement made even more stomach-churning as The Rock and the Saturday Night Live crew poked fun at a child-molesting robot.
"And for the most evil invention in the world contest, I invented a child-molesting robot."
Only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious.
You can't see the video, obviously. That was from Ben Franklin.
They have more need of masters.
This morning, President Trump speaking directly to the Muslim world, hoping to find common ground.
"Every time a terrorist murders an innocent person and falsely invokes the name of God, it should be an insult to every person of faith."
See, either Donald Trump doesn't know this, or he knows it and just can't say it. They're not invoking the name of God, okay? Allah is the moon god Sin, and that's just the way it is. Whether Muslims know it or not, they're worshiping Satan. So when they kill in the name of their God, they're killing in the name of Satan, of Lucifer, and that's just the way it is. And ask yourselves, ladies and gentlemen, seriously, do the Muslims and the liberals, do they really want to coexist with you? Are they really looking for coexistence? Honestly, And also, there was a part of that clip, there was a woman asking Nancy Pelosi which American gets sacrificed by illegal crime so illegals can have a better life. The people that come over with their native flags, crying out Viva la Raza and down with America, do they sound like they want to assimilate and break bread with you? We have to be honest here. They don't. All three have a common goal, which is why you see them from time to time ally with each other. All three want to take you over. And their agendas, they want to be number one. But here's what maybe they don't get, or maybe their leaders do understand, because maybe they've, been promised something, like Macron's been promised, and Merkel's been promised something to destroy their countries. Maybe they do understand that those entities that I just mentioned are all being financed by the puppet masters, right? The George Soroses, Rothschilds, the British royal family, J.P. Morgan's people, the Rockefellers, all of them. Because they want their agenda fulfilled. They want to be the one world order. They want to fulfill Genesis 3:22 and become our gods. Which is why the globalists are financing Islam, this fake liberalism. Why they're funding this New Age business and all this devil worship, and why they're attacking Christianity. And why they're financing Islam. It's a common goal of world takeover. And this just can no longer be denied. This has to be understood. It's a hard pill, pun intended. But you got to take the red one, folks, because this is the real deal here. And these people are very serious. We continue on.
Leaders of 54 Muslim countries in attendance, the president focused on stamping out extremism, sounding nothing like candidate Trump.
I think Islam hates us.
This is not a battle between different faiths, different sects, or different civilizations. This is a battle between barbaric criminals who seek to obliterate human life and decent people, all in the name of religion. People that want to protect life and want to protect their religion.
President Trump meeting with one Arab leader after the next. Egypt.
This is not about protecting their religion. This is about spreading a one world order caliphate. And, you know, if we can't get our own president to admit that, how much help do we really think that we're going to get from the people that we've elected to protect and preserve the Constitution and the United States of America?
President El-Sisi laying on the praise, saying President Trump has a unique personality that is capable of doing the impossible. It prompted laughter in the room, and the president's response?
I agree.
With all that controversy back at home, President Trump looking glad to be so far away. Doing a traditional Saudi dance, typically a symbol of peace after a hard-fought war. And the men fighting with him in that battle back in Washington, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, right here too, dancing with swords. A packed agenda, but not receiving much attention here, human rights.
As a woman here in Saudi Arabia, I wouldn't even be allowed to go into this door at a McDonald's. I would have to go through this side that says family section, completely segregated. There is a wall here that keeps the women separate from the men.
While the president was in town, country star Toby Keith holding a free concert here, American flags lining the stage. In the audience, men only. Women not allowed.
Right now. Such hypocrites. You see, folks, I could never be president of the United States because I would have to compromise. And now, I'm not contradicting myself because I'm speaking in metaphor, not literal. I would have to sell my soul out. I would have to sell out my integrity. First of all, no way am I going to do some stupid sword dance representing so-called peace after a long war. What that really meant was, that's really a celebratory dance after your enemy has been crushed. Because it's all about blood and death. And that's just what these people are. Secondly, Hollywood and the music industry talks about equal rights and homosexuals have rights and women and all that. And here's Toby Keith doing a concert to an audience of all men. Now, if I truly believe in equality and all that other good stuff, there's no way. There's no way I'm holding a concert for men only. I'm sorry. It's not happening. It's just the out and out hypocrisy. And it's all for their own gain. It's all to get their name out there. And you got to be true to yourselves, folks. We continue.
Now, police in Southern California are looking for a man who sexually assaulted a woman outside a bar, and the confrontation was caught on surveillance video. It happened early Sunday morning in Santa Ana. Surveillance video showing the man following a woman down the street before confronting her on the stairs outside the bar. Authorities say the suspect grabbed her and pushed her to the ground and dragged her down the stairs. She was able to fight him off and call for help, but certainly they're looking for him.
According to Taiwan, has ruled in favor of gay marriage, a landmark decision paving the way for the island to become the first place in Asia to legalize same-sex unions. The court issued the ruling on Wednesday, giving local authorities 2 years to implement it. The court said the decision would contribute to social stability and protect human dignity. Hundreds of thousands on the island rallied in support of the decision, but there was also anger among conservative groups.
The grainy video.
Social stability. How socially stable does America look today with this perversion being put into mainstream society? How socially stable are we? How bonded and united are we? When you see those homosexual pride parades, do those people look like they have pride? Do they look like they have integrity? Do we look good? Do we look like we're a good and wholesome society? Really? That's dignity? You want to call that dignity? I call that filth. I call that disgust. And then people wonder why we're in the shape that we're in. How can we expect anything less than where we are today as we continue this slide into utter satanic, and it's just what it is, satanic debauchery. That's basically the end of the relevance of that clip. I'm going to go to clip number two, and it's bridging yesterday's show, and it's titled "How Pedophiles Sexually Extort Our Children Online" with the hashtag Pizzagate. Now, we have to remember, Pizzagate wasn't about a specific pizzeria. Again, those Podesta emails spoke in code. And there were certain code words using different foods related to pizza that were actually covert signals. Well, I'm gonna use the term alleged here, for alleged pedophilia. So we're gonna go to clip two.
So what can an average person do to fight against child pornography, child abduction, child trafficking? I think there's a lot of things that those of us who are just average citizens, things that we can do to fight against these scourges. And I'll talk about different ideas as time goes on. But in this video, what I want to start with is what we have the most control over, and that is our own homes and our own children. So in this video, we're going to talk about the subject of sexual extortion or sextortion. One of the most common forms of sexual extortion of children is when a child predator approaches your child online or through some kind of social media application on their mobile devices, you know, Facebook or something like that. Now, sometimes the predators pose as a fellow child or another youth using, they'll make a fake social media account. And if the predator, for example, is targeting, say, your 13-year-old daughter, he might create an account that appears to be of some handsome boy just a couple of years older than your child. After befriending your daughter, over the course of a couple days, he begins to entice her to do something, playing truth or dare, or something like flashing or taking her shirt off on a webcam or texting a picture of herself in her underwear to the boy. Well, what the predator does next is to threaten to send that material to the girl's friends and to her family unless she gives him another photo. And this pattern continues as the child, who's often afraid to tell her parents what's going on because she doesn't want to get in trouble for some other reason, well, she continues to be manipulated by the extortionist. And this can lead to the predator getting videos or photos of your child performing sexual acts on camera or sending graphic photos of himself or herself. The predator not only uses that material for his own perverted pleasure, but he often finds buyers for your children's images, or he'll trade those images with other pedophiles so he can get even access to even more smut. So here's a 2-minute video that depicts an example of what I'm talking about.
Hi, Zach. Here's another video from my special guy. I can't believe we haven't talked all day. I wish you went to my school or a little closer so we could finally meet.
Take it out.
Dinner in an hour. Don't spend too long on the phone.
Okay, fine.
I know you've been waiting for this for a while, so I wanted to give you something special. Is this okay?
Now, obviously,
the
video, what they're sending instant messages to each other, and now this poor girl is being intimidated and harassed by a sexual predator.
This is actually a very common problem, far more common than you might realize. I personally don't allow my teenagers to have cell phones or any kind of devices with internet access. The only time that they can use the internet is when they're within the eyesight of me or my wife. We have a computer in the living room, for example. That may seem overly restrictive, but I grew up without cell phones. I grew up without the internet. I turned out okay, and I think a lot of you guys did too. And it isn't that I don't trust my children to do what's right. The issue is that I don't believe that kids have sufficient life experience to recognize certain dangers when it presents itself. Plus, the internet, of course, is largely a tool of social mind control programming. And I don't want my kids to be indoctrinated in their younger years by the Hollywood smut industry. So I'm going to play another clip for you, this time from CNN, the Clinton News Network, that covers this same issue.
Reynolds had just finished her freshman year in high school when a stranger suddenly started threatening her with text messages. "I have naked pictures of you. They're going to be sent to all your friends." And the threats kept coming. "I need you to take pictures in your bra if you don't want them to see you."
I knew there was no picture of me, not to my knowledge at least.
But Ashley, who was only 14 years old at the time, remembers falling victim to the mind games of a sexual predator.
He was almost manipulating my mind to believe that he did have some pictures of me. So I didn't know, maybe I had my laptop up and I know maybe I was changing or something like that.
The man behind those threats, Lucas Chancellor of Florida, now in prison, serving 105 years for an extortion scheme to produce child pornography. Ashley, at the time, feeling like she had no choice, sent Chancellor a few naked pictures of herself, thinking that would make him go away. But she was wrong.
What started off as 7 pictures, that one night turned into around 60 pictures per night. I was so scared. I didn't know where it was going to go. I didn't know how far it was going to go.
Ashley is one of 350 young girls victimized by Chancellor in 26 states across the U.S., along with Canada and the U.K., according to court documents. Federal agents raided Chancellor's Florida home in 2010. On his computer, more than 80,000 images and videos, some showing the young victims crying, pleading with him. FBI officials are now asking for the public's help to identify hundreds more of his victims. So far, they've identified 109 girls.
Ashley kept her torment secret for several months until her mom discovered the pictures on her laptop. That discovery led to a call to authorities, which cracked the case wide open and led to the arrest of Chancellor.
For a period of months during the early part of 2016, I conducted extensive interviews with a convicted pedophile in Australia. This man, a guy named John Astor. Astor is a notorious con artist, and he's a pathological liar. He's both dangerous and vindictive. But what I like the least about John Astor is that he was caught with thousands of images and video clips on his computer of children being subjected to sexual exploitation. Some of the images were gruesome. Some of them he manufactured. Astor is the kind of pedophile who would actually friend people on social media accounts to get access to photos of their children, some of which he would then Photoshop and turn into child porn to put on the internet. I've interviewed around a dozen people familiar with John Astor and what he has done. And I've even spoken with some of his victims. And I can tell you all that the internet is brimming with men like John Astor, sick perverts who wish to exploit your children for their own twisted purposes. So one of the first things that we all need to do if we're parents is to be very careful in how much access to the internet that we are giving to our children, at least unsupervised access. For those who do allow their kids to have cell phones, you might want to have some kind of good service on it that allows you to monitor their phone use, something that can restrict access to certain applications. You need to have, of course, to begin with, an open and trusting relationship with your children so that they can feel safe to come to you to talk. But even then, it is the responsibility of you as the parent to monitor what your child is doing. A child has no inherent right to unequivocal privacy. That's a fallacy. The parent should exercise his or her responsibility to periodically check the child's text messages and social media usage.
I 100% agree. It is the duty of the parents to guide their children, and those that don't, they're being neglectful. They don't have autonomy. And that's the mistake. That's the mistake that is being done by the 21st century parent. They don't have autonomous private rights. You know when they get that? When they move out on their own, then their lives are their lives. But when they're in the house, parents have a duty to teach them what is right and to steer them from what can be very, very perilous.
I've got 8 children. For me, I found it actually the easiest and most effective to just restrict my children completely from such things until they turn 17, and then gradually ease them into allowing them to demonstrate trustworthy behavior before I loosen the reins on their use of social media. And even then, I still continue to monitor in a fair and unobtrusive way that gives my children some autonomy, but also satisfies my parental duty to keep my children safe from online predators. Predators, they go after both boys and girls, but girls are definitely targeted to a greater extent. So not only do I talk to my kids about being safe and what things that they should be watchful for, but I also talk with my kids, especially my boys, about not participating in or affiliating with any other kids their ages who might be the kind of people who would solicit or tease girls and try and get them to give photos of themselves. I won't tolerate such things from my kids. We need to restore good old-fashioned traditional values. Boys and girls should seek to remain sexually pure in both thought, speech, and action. We should teach our children the importance of sexual abstinence before marriage and the importance of complete fidelity after marriage or while they're in marriage. It may seem like an archaic teaching, but that's what the...
See, all these ideals that he's speaking about, see, no, ladies and gentlemen, these are not archaic, old-fashioned values. No. Perversion, transsexualism, homosexuality, situational ethics, that stuff is actually more archaic than what is taught in the Bible. The Bible is what's progressive. The founding fathers were progressive. See, they were ahead of their time. I want to give an example real quick. In the Hebrew scriptures, and, you know, atheists or antichrists, really, who try to, for some insane reason, use what's called the Old Testament against us, which is ridiculous. Because if you're going to attack Christians, I mean, try using the New Testament, but they want to go to the Old. Well, there's a part, I think it's Leviticus. It's definitely in one of Moses' 5 books, where if a man has sex with a woman outside of marriage, the man then has a duty to treat that woman as his wife for life. Now, people that have tried to skew that say, oh, you created a slave out of a woman. No, she has to serve the man. Not so. Back in the time of Moses, daughters were basically a liability. They were property. And the father of the daughter prayed to sell her off, and it really was, call it a dowry, but it was really selling her off and try to get her a man in a family that had money. You see that in India today, these arranged marriages. And in those times, if a girl was defiled, she was ruined. She was no longer any good. They would be killed off. They would be banished because they became worthless. It was very, you know, we want to use the term liberal. It was very liberal at that time under Mosaic law for the man who defiled the woman to be responsible. The girl couldn't be discarded. And I would have to recheck this. I actually think the father had to receive a payment or something. Don't quote me on that. But there was mass compensation. The man that defiled the woman was held accountable, and he had to take care of her as a wife. That was unheard of in the world at that time. So now, being wholesome, having integrity, knowing between right and wrong, parenting actively is not archaic. It is the right thing to do, and it's not old-fashioned. This, and I'm going to get into that article, this new age business is not new age at all. Matter of fact, it is older. It predates Christianity. They just bring it into us, again, under covert circumstances. So there's a minute and a half left with this article, with this audio, and then I got to see where I'm at with time if I'm going to conclude about what happened with the Vatican connection, and then this New Age article. So we continue with the clip.
Bible teaches, and so it's good enough for me. I've personally, in my own life, have found safety in adhering to those principles of virtue. And I believe that these are the things that we ought to be teaching our children in this crazy day and age that we live in. No 14-year-old boy should ever ask a girl to take off her shirt on camera, and no 14-year-old girl should ever think so lowly of herself as to be willing to degrade herself to satisfy the lusts of any other person. So my first recommendation to you all is that we can help to combat child pornography by being aware of what child predators do online and to help protect our kids from their devilish schemes. Take time to talk to your kids. I know it's not a comfortable topic. Nobody wants to talk to their kids about this mess, but these are children. It's your job as a parent to do whatever is necessary to protect your children from harm. And there's a lot of potential on the internet today for sexual exploitation and extortion. For the End Times News Report, I'm Jake Morfonios.
I thought that was an excellent clip. What I didn't finish on was I mentioned the Founding Fathers. The Founding Fathers, like I said, were way ahead of their time. They call America the Great Experiment for a reason, because there was never anything seen like the United States of America ever, where, and it was in the beginning, to be fair, limited government, equal opportunity, stressing individual property rights. What we see today in progressivism, government-wise, is not progressive or new at all. We can give it any name that we wish. Socialism. Communism. European Union. Federation. It's all the same. It falls under monarchy. It falls under one symbol, totalitarianism. That's from day one. The first superpower mentioned in the Bible was Egypt, the Pharaoh. Same thing. Call him whatever you want to call him. Pharaoh, prime minister, Caesar, sultan. It doesn't matter. We're going back, we're going backwards, folks. We're going back into pre-Christian barbarism, and we're going back to pre-representative republic totalitarianism. We're actually going backwards. We are not evolving, as the counterfeits say. We are devolving. Just because we have cell phones now, and we can play in our apps, and you know, we can shoot drones, and we can put virtual reality goggles on, and all that other good stuff. Do you honestly think that we're progressing? Do you honestly think that we're evolving into a better human being? Look at, open your eyes. Look out the window. Does it really look better? Is the world a happier place with all of this so-called New Age progressivism and this evolution of man? I'm going to say, no, it doesn't look good. But you want to know where things do look good, where things are looking good? You want to look at countries like Poland that have made their government completely conservative now. You look, I mean, Russia has made improvements. Putin has made a lot of improvements. Christianity is being promoted again. Alex Jones on Infowars.com has spoken about that. Russian families are being paid to have children now. So the Bible and Christianity is not, they're not archaic. They are the final fulfillment of life on earth. It's the greatest playbook we could ever have. And the evidence is overwhelming that when we go away from that, the results we receive are not good. Now, is that true in every case? Of course not. There are many atheists, there are many Satanists running around here, driving Corvettes and having a nice home, and the children are graduating college, and, you know, life goes on. Of course. There are Christians that are true to the cross that are suffering disease and poverty and persecution. Absolutely. Absolutely. That is the way of the world. But I am talking about as a whole. As a world mass. Is this so-called evolution of man really benefiting the world as a whole? I have to say no. So, I'm just going to go into this article real quick because I really want to do the New Age one and then wrap up for the weekend. So, a story broke out first by the Mirror. .co.uk and then Alex Jones ran with it. He talked a lot about it yesterday. Now YouTube clips are coming up. The title is by Stephen White, July 5th. Vatican police break up, and they use the word gay, but I'm a straight shooter here, so I'm changing that. Vatican police break up homosexual orgy at home of one of Pope Francis's advisors. And I've talked about how the establishment, whether it's spiritual establishment, political establishment, entertainment establishment, they're all tied in for this lust of debauchery, homosexuality, child molestation, pedophilia. That's one of the common denominators of all of these groups. So there's really no surprise that the top echelons of the Church of Rome would be involved in something like this, because they've been involved in things like this for centuries. So the flat belonged to the Holy Office, which is in charge of tackling sexual abuse amongst the clergy. I mean, this is great. Vatican police have broken up a homosexual orgy at the home of the secretary to one of Pope Francis's key advisors, it's been claimed. The flat belonged to the Vatican's Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, or Holy Office, which is in charge of tackling sexual abuse amongst the clergy. Reports in Italy claim the occupant of the apartment is the secretary to Cardinal Francesco Cocopalmerio, a key aide to the 80-year-old Pope. Cocopalmerio heads the Pontifical Council for Legislative Texts and was said to have once recommended his secretary for a promotion to bishop. The claims about the police raid last month were made in the Italian newspaper Il Fatto Quotidiano. The flat, or apartment, involved was a short distance from the Vatican itself. According to the paper, neighbors became suspicious before complaining about irregular behavior of those coming and going at the flat. When police showed up, they reportedly found drugs and a group of men engaged in sexual activity. It is the latest scandal to hit the Vatican and comes after its finance chief, Cardinal George Pell, was charged with historical sexual offenses. So, and again, these things have been going on in the Church of Rome, which basically is the whore of Babylon, with Babylon symbolically being the place of world government. So, I'm going to conclude. We're going to go into OT a little bit with this final article. Excuse me for the allergies, I apologize. What is the significance of the New Age movement? The so-called New Age movement is a strange religion or complex of religions that has come into increasing prominence in recent years. This phenomenon is actually a combination of modern science and mathematical physics, along with astrology, occultism, religious mysticism, and nature worship. See, again, it comes down to pre-Christian Babylonian paganism. You can sum that up right then and there. Supposedly offered as a reaction against the materialisms of Western thought, the New Age movement appealed both to man's religious nature and his intellectual pride. See, that's very important. Again, that wisdom, man's wisdom, his intellectual pride, as well as his physical appetites. And I'm banking that on being moving into hedonism. It is getting a host of followers all over the world and aims eventually to become the world's sole religion. You see, folks, there's that one world order. Although New Ages have a form of religion, their God is evolution. Do you see how they say, oh, you haven't evolved enough? Not the true God of creation. Many religious sects are involved in this movement to one degree or another. It includes such pseudo-Christian cults. Now, pseudo basically means fake. So it includes fake Christian cults as Divine Science, Unity, New Thought, and Religious Science, and also various Eastern and occult religions such as Theosophy, which I believe was mentioned in yesterday's clip with Manly P. Hall, Albert Pike, and those people. Spiritualism, Hare Krishna, Rosicrucianism, and assorted guru cults. Many Western New Age followers regard the controversial evolutionist priest Teilhard de Chardin as their spiritual father. He was passionately devoted to evolution as the general postulate to which all systems must henceforth bow. He and other leading neo-Darwinians, including John Dewey, who created the Dewey Decimal System, regarded the evolutionary process as having come to consciousness in man, who can now guide it into the development of an ideal socialistic world order. Evolution is now viewed by this modern pantheist as the cosmic mind, which has orchestrated the evolutionary progress of the universe and its many systems over endless ages. Modern physicists have contributed to this religion with their promotion of what they call the anthropotic principle, which seeks to show that the constants and processes of the universe are inescapably bound up between the evolution of intelligent man. Sir Julian Huxley, who was the first Director General of the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, and who was also probably the most important evolutionist of the 20th century, lent his greatest influence and prestige to the promotion of evolutionary humanism as the only allowable world religion, synchronizing all the religion and philosophies of the world into one great man, deifying system of faith and practice under a coming world government. There is your Genesis 3:22. The younger generation of evolutionists is now promoting a revolutionary type of evolution rather than the old gradualism of evolutionary capitalism as the favored rationale of both past and future evolutionary progress towards this goal. Since all of this is fully consistent with the older ethnic religions of Taoism, Buddhism, Confucianism, and Hinduism, they are incorporating the ancient pagan notion that sudden upsurges in new order can be achieved through the chaotic disintegration of old orders. In other words, bring down individual sovereign governments, oh, I don't know, like the United States of America. But you ask a New Ager, okay, you take down the United States of America, you take down this old archaic system, oh, show me what you got. Show me the new system. They don't have an answer. They can't. They can't provide you 3 bullet points of what this is going to look like, except we're going to hug and kiss on each other, like Katy Perry said. Really? I don't think so. The amalgamation of Eastern evolutionary pantheism into Western evolutionary scientism was greatly facilitated also by the Aquarian Age emphasis of the student revolution of the 60s, which I talked about earlier in the show. Although many of the scientific and humanistic advocates of the New Age philosophy are not yet willing to accept all the astrological and occult aspects of this movement, there has been a steady growth in these pagan accompaniments of its revived pantheism. In the ancient religious pantheism, the religion of Gaia, the Earth Mother, Mother Nature, and by the way, Earth Day, that is celebrated once a year, was created actually by Vladimir Lenin. And that's a whole other story about, yeah, Mother Earth and the carbon and this all this global warming nonsense. So let's just move on from that. So the religion of Gaia, Earth Mother, Mother Nature, on the intellectual level, was commonly associated with polytheism, astrology, spiritism, witchcraft, and even Satanism on the popular level. This is happening again as all these practices are developing a great following today, especially among the young devotees of rock music and the drug culture. Furthermore, all this complex synthesis of scientism and paganism is being implemented with the pervasive controls made possible by modern computerized systems technology and networking economics. Now, this is where Agenda 2030 comes in, and I urge you to look at that. Suddenly, the global goals of evolutionary humanism seem very imminent indeed. The Bible, of course, also warns of a coming world government that will be based on evolutionary humanism. When a great king shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. Instead of acknowledging responsibility to the Creator, he will honor the God of forces. This comes from Daniel 11:36-38. This man of sin, who considers himself to be greater than God, is called by God the beast. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, and Revelation 13, chapter 2. As the world's representative, man, the highest supposed product of natural forces and a beastly ancestry, he will personify humanism in its full flower. However, it will not really be human science and philosophy through which he and his system gain power over the world. The dragon, the devil, gave him his power and his throne and his great authority. The ultimate source of evolutionary humanism and all its religious representatives, whether in ancient paganism or modern scientism, is none other than Satan himself, the old dragon, who has been seeking since the beginning to destroy the God of creation and become the cosmic deity himself. For a brief moment, Satanism will finally become the world's religion. And they worship the dragon, which gave power to the beast. And they worship the beast. Revelation 13, verse 4. The whole monstrous system will endure very briefly in this eventual apparent triumph of globalism, humanism, and evolutionism. Then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonder, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them, that will perish because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 8 through 10. New Age evolutionism, thank you, is not so new, after all, and Mother Nature is really nothing but one of the faces, just what I said, of ancient Babylon, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, Revelation 17:5. The age-old religion of God's ancient enemy, which deceiveth the whole world, Revelation 12:9. The real New Age will come when Christ returns. But you see, the Bible, folks, the New Testament, there's your New Age. There's your New Age. There is your final fulfillment of spirituality. The United States of America and the United States Constitution, especially the first 10, that is your political New Age, folks. That is your final fulfillment of a man-made government. Could you imagine what the world would look like if we all adopted the Christian scriptures and the United States Constitution? Ask yourselves in closing today as we wrap up the week, how great would our world look? Food for thought, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Michael B. This is The Truth Zone. See you again Monday, 10 a.m. Central Time.